in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Because you have come in your glory, you have come in the fullness of the blessing, you have come to touch our life, to transform our destinies. Thank you, because the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. We receive your engrafted word, which is able to save, to heal, to transform, to upgrade, to promote our lives and destinies. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Clap your hands. You are clapping with a face that is not looking as if you are clapping. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Give the Lord a shout of praise. As we are shouting, every spirit of heaviness, depression, discouragement, downcast, distress that followed you into this place, as we are shouting, they are lifted. As we are shouting, they are leaving you. As we are shouting, your breakthrough is coming. Come and give the Lord a shout of praise, a shout of victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Welcome to our very last miracle healing and impartation service for the month, for this year, 2023. And guess what? Good news, good news, good news. And the good news is that there is enough miracles to go around and around and round for everyone. If you can see yourself with your own miracle, you will give the Lord a shout. You will celebrate. You will rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says, in the presence of God, there is no shortage. There is fullness of joy. You know, there are some Christians, they are happier in parties than in the house of God. What an error. There are some believers, they are more excited when their team score goal. Eh? They are watching football and their team win. They are happier than when they are in the presence of God. Some people are happier when they are watching movies than when they are in the house of God. The Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. If there is any place you should be happiest, it's in the house of God. This is the house of your Father. This is the house of your Father. Come on, make some noise. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the joyful noise. So, even noise, if it has joy inside, is acceptable before God. He said, make a what? Joy. Can you practicalize that scripture? Hallelujah! Listen, don't allow Satan or anything or anybody steal your joy. Because the Bible says, with joy shall you draw water.
out of the wells of salvation. When your joy dries, everything, your life will dry up. Without joy, you can't receive anything. You came for miracle service, but listen, joy is your sequel. It is with joy you draw from the river of salvation all the benefits and blessings of redemption, of salvation. It is with joy you pull them out. Am I communicating? Can you just look at your neighbor now and just express joy? Is somebody excited in the house of God? Glory! Hallelujah! Glory to God. You might be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so excited today. God has a word for you. You are going to pay for this service. I say you are going to pay for this service. We didn't collect gate fee, right? We didn't put bouncers outside to collect gate fees. But you will pay for the service. But you are not paying with naira and kobo. Neither are you paying with dollars and pounds sterling. Should I tell you what you will pay? Attention. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. Am I communicating? Galatians 3 verse 5. You have to pay attention. Most of the times, if you must receive from God, you must pay attention. And you must fight away every form of distraction. Every form of distraction. Because these are enemies that can stop you from receiving. Am I communicating? Put your phone on silence or put it off. Anyone that works for you, make sure there are no distractions from anywhere. Just focus on Jesus, focus on His word. Am I communicating? This is the house of God. We have come to encounter God. We are here for the Lord, and the Lord is here for us. Let me tell you, but we are here for the Lord. And the Lord too is here for us. So let there be no distractions. He said, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Can you answer that question? Can you answer the question? He's asking a question. He said, He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, is he doing it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer to that? The hearing of faith. In other words, the hearing of faith is the means by which the ministration of the Spirit happens. That is, the Spirit is ministered to you through the hearing of faith. Am I communicating? And the workings of miracles, praise God, the workings of miracles is also through the hearing of faith. Give me a New King James Version. The supply of the Spirit answers to the hearing of faith. The workings of miracles, including healings, they happen through what? The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. New King James Version. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, that's the supply of the Spirit. Watch this. In Philippians 1:19, we saw one way to activate the supply of the Spirit, which is through prayers. Paul said, I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So prayer can bring about the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But look at another way to activate the supply of the Spirit here. Galatians 3 verse 5 is through what? The hearing of faith. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Of course, the answer is, he does it by what? By the hearing of faith. Hallelujah.
by the hearing of faith. Now, I want you to understand that the hearing of faith will provoke the supply of the Spirit. One. Number two, the hearing of faith will what? Activate the workings of miracles. And this is why you have to pay attention to the word of God, because the Bible says, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as the word of God is coming to you, we call it the hearing of faith. We are preaching the word of faith. And as the spirit of faith, as the word of faith is being taught, the spirit of faith is caught in the process. There is an impartation of the spirit of faith. Am I communicating? The hearing of faith. Keburabakasaya. The Bible talks about, give me Luke 6 verse 16. It talked about those that came to hear and to be healed. Luke 6, 16. Okay, 17. Give me 17. Shabala kosovregedia. It says, he came down with them and stood in the plain, talking about Jesus, the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him. First, they came to hear him. Did you see that? Somebody said the hearing of faith. Why is the hearing of faith important? Because it's going to provoke the supply of the Spirit that will release the anointing and all the manifestations of the Spirit. Then, number two, the hearing of faith is important because it will what? Provoke the workings of miracles, including healings. Number three, the hearing of faith will also help you retain your miracle after receiving it. Because it takes faith to receive your miracle or healing, and it also takes faith to retain it. Am I communicating? So this is why the hearing of faith is very important. This is why I teach even during miracle services. Glory to God. Watch this. It says, they came first to hear him. So you have to pay attention to God's word. He said, my son, attend to my word. Glory to God. Because your miracle is in the word. Your healing is in the word. Everything God does, he does by his word, powered by the Spirit. Am I communicating? It says they came to hear him, one, and then to be healed of their diseases. Did you see that? They came to hear him, that's the hearing of faith, which will now provoke workings of miracles, and then to be healed. Are you seeing this? Very powerful principle. Glory to God. The word will build your faith. The word will provoke workings of miracles. The word will provoke the supply of the Spirit. The word will bring you your testimony. Praise God. Jesus the healer. Jesus the healer. Jesus, I'm just excited. You know, the Holy Spirit said I should speak on this theme, Jesus the healer. And I was so excited, you know. Jesus the healer. Healing Jesus. Jesus is still in the healing business. Am I communicating? Listen. Jesus is the revelation of God's will to us. Everything he ever did and is still doing today is a revelation of God's will. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Give me Acts chapter 10 verse 38. I'm talking about Jesus the healer. Glory to God. It says how God anointed Jesus of what? Nazareth. With the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And on Friday, you know, those of you who were around for Throne of Grace Encounter, I did a little exposition on the prophetic theme for the month that God gave us. This is our month of God's goodness. I said this is our month of God's goodness. You will enjoy the goodness of God like never before this month. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Jesus was anointed to do good works. Am I communicating? This is a picture of healing Jesus. Jesus the healer in action. He went about doing good, and we were given example of the good work that he did there. And healing all that were oppressed, not some. Healing all. Healing all. All sicknesses are healable. Yea, Jesus has already paid the price for the healing of all. All human beings, all of humanity, all of our sickness, all of our diseases, our pain. Am I communicating? Jesus has already paid the price. Listen, the same sacrifice of Jesus that dealt with the sin problem also dealt with the sickness problem, also dealt with the poverty problem. Am I communicating? Many people don't find it hard to believe that Jesus has paid the price for their sin. The one that they find it difficult to accept is that he has also paid the price for their sickness. It's the same sacrifice. Am I communicating? Not a different. You see, the sin problem did not require another sacrifice. It's once and for all. The same sacrifice. The same sacrifice of Jesus in redemption, in his redemptive work, that redemptive sacrifice, that substitutionary sacrifice that paid the price in full for our sin, also paid the price for our sickness. Let this truth enter you. Am I communicating? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, not some. There is no disease that Jesus has not paid the price for. And there is no disease that Jesus cannot heal. Am I communicating? Cancer, HIV, lymphoma, systemic lupus, erythematosus. Am I communicating? Some of you say, am I speaking in tongues? It's not tongues. It's a medical illness. Am I communicating? SLE. Every form of Hodgkin's lymphoma. Every kind of disease. Every kind of sickness. Fully paid for. Let me tell you, it has been fully paid for. Healing in Christ. Healing is available for all. Healing for all. Am I communicating? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and look at the good here, and healing all. So healing is a good work. Healing is one of the good works that Jesus was anointed to do. Am I communicating? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The manifest presence of God brought healing to the sick. We said Jesus is a revelation of the Father's will. So if Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good work and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, that means healing is God's will. Can you see this? If healing is not the will of God, why should God anoint Jesus and tell him to go and heal the sick? Am I communicating? Everything Jesus did is a revelation of the Father's will. If you study the life and ministry of Jesus in the Bible, there was nobody that ever came to Jesus asking for healing that Jesus said no to. There was none. Jesus never refused anybody healing or any other form of miracle, because that was his will. It is the Father's will. God wants you well. God wants you well. He wants you hale and hearty. God wants you well. And he wants you healed if you are sick. He wants you whole. Am I communicating? Religion has taught that, sometimes it's the will of God for you to be healed. Sometimes it's God is the one that puts sickness on people. Sometimes God refuses to heal people to teach them a lesson. God uses sickness as one of his teaching aids. He puts sickness, you understand? Have you heard those kind of teachings? It's not in the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. Sickness is of the devil. God is love. How can sickness be the will of love? Because of God's nature of love, he cannot stand sickness. That's why he anointed Jesus to bring healing to the sick. That was why he sent Jesus to pay the price for our healing. Am I communicating? God is love. God is love. How can sickness be the will of love? Think about it. In this teaching, a lot of people will receive their miracle and healing here, but this teaching will probably bring more healing than even the one that will happen in this service. You will understand what I mean, because I'm going to be dealing with all the roadblock to healing. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit says I should deal with. Because the reason why some of you are not yet healed is not because the power of God is not present to heal you. It's because of all those roadblocks, those hindrances preventing you from receiving your healing. I will show you all of them and we'll deal with all of them, so that there will be no hindrance to the flow. Am I communicating? This is very important. Because in some of these wrong teachings, that has unconsciously produced unbelief and doubt in the heart of Christians, so that no matter who prays for them, they are still not healed. They are still. You understand? You go to hospital, they are used to receiving prayer for healing. Have you been there? If you do hospital evangelism, I've been there. Have you been there? After praying for them, then they will say, thank you very much. Now go to Yaruna. Continue to pray for us. Am I communicating? I've been there. So your prayer is like zero. It's zero. You know why? Because there are so many roadblocks from experience. The people have been cultured to be prayer collectors without being taught how to receive their healing. So a lot of people have prayed for them and nothing happened, to a point that they are now expecting nothing to happen. So your prayer just added to the list. So people like that, I'm never in a hurry to pray for them. I have to deal with all those roadblocks first. I have to teach them how to receive. Prayer will be the last thing. Am I communicating? This is very important. There are some of you like that. The reason why you've not yet received your healing is your past experiences. Let me teach you something. One of the worst enemies to receiving your healing is past experiences, negative experiences of you being prayed for and not receiving your healing. If you don't know how to deal with those experiences, they will create doubt and unbelief in your heart. They will become a stronghold such that it will prevent you from receiving your healing. Because anytime you are being prayed for, it doesn't even matter who prays for you. Anytime they release the anointing on you, your hands are laid on you, you are being prayed for, because of those past experiences, they will just play in your mind and unbelief will rise. Your mind will tell you, you were prayed for 20 times before. Mighty, mighty heavyweight men of God even prayed for you. You didn't get healed. So are you expecting to get healed now? And you too, you will say no. And that's it. These are the things the Holy Spirit says I should deal with. Am I communicating? Mindset. That mindset of unbelief.
sponsored by negative experiences in the past. You must kill it all. Are you getting me? You give it final barrier. Somebody say final barrier. Because these are some of the roadblocks. I will come to them properly later. I'm just stepping ahead of myself. Praise God. I say praise God. Listen, I don't believe in healing because I've prayed for people and I've seen people healed. I don't believe in healing because I've watched men of God ministered healing to the sick and people got healed. I believe in healing because the word of God says so. I believe in healing because that's what the Bible teaches. So in other words, don't base your faith on experiences. Base it on the word of God. Are you listening? Did you hear what I just said? Let your faith not be based on experiences, whether good or bad in the past. Let it be based on the word of God. I know it's easier for you to receive when you've had positive good experiences in the past. It will inspire your faith. But I don't want your faith to be based on experiences at all. Let it be based on the raw word of God. This is how to deal with some things. Am I communicating? This is very important. They asked Kenneth Copeland, faith man, you that believe in faith. Okay, if you pray for a dead person now to come back to life, if the person does not come back to life, what will you do? He said, next. In other words, I will move to the next one. And if the next one doesn't come to life, what will he say? Next. Are you getting my point? These are men that they don't base their faith on experience. They base it on the word of God. The word of God says, you shall lay hands on the sick shall recover. If you lay hands on 100 people and none of them recover, has he invalidated the word of God? It doesn't change God's word. And it shouldn't shake your faith. But the problem is, people will now judge the word of God based on those past experiences. They say, I laid out 100, none of them got healed. Therefore, in their mind, doubt will now creep in. Unbelief. Why? Past negative experiences. See, if I lay hands on 1 million people, if none of them get healed, it doesn't shake my faith. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. I can stake my life on that. I believe in healing because the word of God says so. Are you getting me? This is very important. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Let me help you. Delete all the past memories of you attending miracle service and not receiving your miracle. Delete it from your mind. Delete all the past negative experiences, because these are the things that spoil and sabotage your faith. Delete them. Let the word of God come alive. Healing is God's will for you, and Jesus has already paid the price. Am I communicating? Mandekeporakata. Because it's so easy for people to receive when we remove all these roadblocks. If there are blockages, so many things blocking the pipe, can water flow? Water will not flow to you. It doesn't mean there is no water. But to flow to you, all those old, what do they call them? Blockages, debris have to be removed. And that's one of my assignments in this services. That's one of my assignments. Because when we deal with that, it will be easy for you to receive. Glory to God. I say glory to God. God will give somebody a Christmas miracle. You see, December is our month of God's goodness. Let me prophesy very well. I decree and declare this every single day of December,
will be like Christmas, will be Christmas for you. You didn't hear me. You don't need to wait until 25th. Eh? You don't need to wait till 25th. Every single day of December shall be Christmas for you. And God will be giving you Christmas miracle every day. Christmas miracle. Christmas miracle every single day. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, healing Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Can you see the origin of sickness? Who is the originator of sickness from this verse? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Who is oppressing them? The devil. Did he say God? So those that say sickness is from God, look at it there. Look at what the Bible teaches. He said they were oppressed of the devil. You see one definition of sickness there. Satanic oppression affecting people's body. Sickness is an oppression of the devil manifested in people's body. It can also be manifested in people's mind. It can be manifested in their emotion. Am I communicating? In their soul, in their spirit, in their body. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. That was why God anointed Jesus to deal with it. Praise God. It comes from the devil. The Bible says Satan is called the wicked one. The wicked one. The evil one. Sickness is evil. And it comes from the devil himself, the evil one. Am I communicating? God is not the one afflicting people with sickness. Satan is. Healing is God's will for you. Am I communicating? This truth, I'm telling you, this truth must be deeply ingrained in your heart. Because religion have taught some people otherwise. God does not put sickness on people to make them humble. If it were so, the sickest, is there any English like that? The sickest people will be the most humble. Eh? The most humble people will be the people with the worst sickness on earth. But is that the case? No. God doesn't use sickness to teach humility. God doesn't use sickness to teach his children a lesson. No. Sickness is not one of the teaching aids of God. It's not one of God's teaching aids or method. How does God teach us? He said, he will give us the Holy Spirit who shall teach us all things. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. So God teaches you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And his word is also our teacher. He teaches us how? Through his word. And then he has given us ministry gifts. The apostle, prophet, teachers, evangelists, pastors. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith. So these are God's teaching method. These are the ways God teaches us. He teaches us by his word. He teaches us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us through the fivefold ministry to the church. Sickness is not one of them. Please, praise God. Please, let's correct this wrong theology, because these are the things that is stopping people from receiving their healing. Because faith cannot begin. Your faith cannot come alive where you are in doubt about God's will. Faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If you know that healing is God's will for you and you are sick, you are clear from the word of God, it dawns on you that it is the will of God for you to be healed. Your faith will come alive. But where, because of wrong teaching and all of that, religious teaching, you are not sure. Because you've heard some maybe respected preachers have taught it, that sometimes God chooses to heal, sometimes he chooses not to heal. And now you are praying for God to heal you. And then those things will just come up. Before you know, doubt and unbelief will set in. Your faith cannot come. Your faith cannot come alive. Faith only begins where the will of God is known. So let this thing be clear in your heart. Praise God. Job chapter 2 verse 10. I'm showing you evidence that sickness came from the devil, not God. Job 2:10. Watch this. 1:10, sorry. 1:10. Job 1:10. You remember the story of Job? You remember the story of Job? Let me ask you a question. Who was responsible for all those things Job suffered? The devil. But do you know that Job did not know the devil was the one behind, striking behind the scene? You know, I taught you that in the Old Testament, there was no revelation of Satan. You know, in the New Testament, Satan was unmasked. He was unmasked. We were told we have an adversary. Be sober, be vigilant. You have an adversary, the devil, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus thoroughly, completely, and eternally defeated Satan. Am I communicating? But do you know in the Old Testament it was not like that? Satan was striking behind the scene. He will strike people. Poi! He will hide under cover. People will attribute it to God. Satan will say, yes, 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 continue. So that's why if you are reading the Old Testament, you have to be careful. Because the Jews have this mindset that both good and evil come from God. Because there was no revelation of Satan. Praise God. So he was striking behind the scene. He was the one that struck Job. Attack, one satanic attack like this. Pow! Job lost everything. His business crashed. The world's richest man, the greatest man in the East. Just one demonic attack, he was reduced to zero. That's why you should never envy unbelievers, no matter what they have. Just one demonic attack, everything is gone. Am I communicating? He was reduced. He lost all his money, his business, empire, his investment. Everything was gone. In one day, his whole family, all his children were dead. As if that was not enough, Satan struck him with sickness, boil, terrible boil, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. But because Job did not have a revelation and the understanding that it was the devil that was behind it, look at what Job said. He said, naked I came into this world, naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, correct. The Lord taketh, wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Correct. He said, the Lord giveth. Is that one correct? You now in the New Testament, you know, Job did not have the opportunity to read the book of Job. I hope you understand. To see that Satan was behind his problem. You have your Bible. You read the book of Job. So why should you be talking like Job? You know, there are Christians today. Eh? They said the same thing Job said. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Job said that in ignorance. You have understanding, and you are still talking like that. You have your Bible. You can read the book of Job. You can see the devil behind the problem. You can see the devil that taketh. You can see that God gave him correct, but it was the devil that took it from him. Took his wealth, took his health, took his children, took everything he had. God is not a taker. God is a giver. I say God is not a taker. God is a giver. It was not God that took from him. It was God that gave him. Satan took from him. So, you with the right understanding, what you should say is that the Lord giveth, Satan took it, but God restored it back times two. Oh, you know the story didn't end like that. In fact, should I surprise you? Do you know all those problem troubles Job went through was only for 9 months? All his predicament was 9 months too. Bible says our light affliction. Light, momentary, fleeting. which is but for a moment. Don't make it forever. Our light affliction is for a moment, not forever. He worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Everything Job suffered was only 9 months. Why is your own lasting how many years? You should react angrily. I told you, anything you tolerate will remain. Any oppression of the devil, whether it's sickness or anything, you need to react violently against it in faith for a change of story. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate any pain. It's not God that gave you that pain. Stop saying my diabetes. When did you own it? The Bible said Jesus himself took. Now you are saying my diabetes, my hypertension, my asthma have started again. Hi. That my monthly menstrual pain have started again. You see, this is the problem. Mindset, wrong beliefs, wrong mindset, wrong confession. Am I communicating? Jesus took the menstrual pain. He took the cancer. He took the pain. He took the ulcer. And that my ulcer have started again. You have owned it. He said himself took. Even Jesus is surprised. When did you collect it back? The Bible said himself. Jesus himself took. Took your sickness. Carried your pain. He bore them. Him alone. Not you and him. And once and for all. Threw them into the ocean of forgetfulness. Am I communicating? He took past participle. What he took, why are you still having? You even claim ownership. Say my. Hi. That my headache. That is how the thing usually come. It's not that, you know. So that You are even expecting it not to go. You see what unbelief can do. You see what doubt can do. Am I communicating? Jesus has taken away your headache. Why are you still expecting it to remain? Eh? Am I communicating? I curse that thing that makes you afraid that pain will come back again. I curse that spirit. I curse that mindset. I curse even the thought of it. Every recurrent sickness, I curse it. In the name of Jesus. Stop owning it. You say, you know, these my eyes. Allergic conjunctivitis. Now every Amatan season, the thing will now start. It will become red. It is itching me. Seasonal allergic conjunctivitis. Seasonal allergic rhinitis. Say that my red eye don't come again. That my red eye. That my itchy eye don't start again. You see your problem? You have owned it. You have owned what Jesus took. Did you rob him to collect it back? Am I communicating? Change your thinking. See your sickness on Jesus. See it nailed to the cross. The Bible says, himself took by his stripes ye were healed. Let that scripture, see, meditate on the word until the word comes alive. Until you begin to see yourself totally healed. See your sickness on Jesus. Am I communicating? Say with me. Himself. Jesus himself. Jesus the healer. Has carried my sickness. He bore my pain. He took my diseases. And he took it once and for all. And what he took, I don't have. I cannot have. I will never have. If Satan package sickness and DHL it to you. You know DHL? Eh? If DHL, you know all this, their agent, they bring parcel to you that is not your own. What do you do? Do you collect it? You reject it. It's the same thing. If Satan package sickness and pain, and DHL it to you, what should you do? Well, you know the problem. Some Christians collect it. Ah, thank you. There's a sign here. He signed. Am I communicating? So how do you know when they have brought it? Through symptoms. Listen. The presence of symptoms does not mean you have the sickness. You have the sickness when you accepted that you have it. It's not because you started having symptoms. Listen, the way I've trained myself, I've been sick before. I don't suffer sickness. But through the word of God, I've entered another realm. I attack every symptom with the word of God. I don't think twice. At the very first instance of the headache, I put my hand there. In the name of Jesus, heal! Be gone! Jesus! And that's it. That's how I live my life. I won't sit down there and start thinking with my medical mind and analyzing. This headache now, is it frontal headache? Or is it parietal headache? Or is it occipital headache? Or is global headache? And what could be responsible? I don't see that. See, I suspend my medical mind. Are you getting my point? My default mode response is based on the word of God. Anywhere I feel pain, I put hand there. By his stripes, I'm not going to be healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. And therefore, this pain has no right to attack this body. In the name of Jesus, out! Be healed, be gone! See, you need to be violent. And you need to be intentional in doing that. I've seen growth in my body several times. I cursed them until they disappeared. That's why it's not difficult for me to see growth, healings of growth disappearing. Because I've practicalized it on my own body. I've seen growth dematerialize, disappeared. And most of them was not immediately. 99% of them, they did not disappear immediately I spoke to them. But I kept cursing them. It doesn't matter how many times I see them. I said the same thing. In the name of Jesus, die! Dematerialize. Be gone! In the name of Jesus, disappear. And that's it. I continue my life. Anytime Satan bring it to my mind, that is still there. I do the same thing. It doesn't change my confessions. I don't allow unbelief and doubt to start making me say, you said it before, you said it 5 times, nothing happened. Nah, lie. You can't, you see, Satan cannot use those things to deceive me. I know that the moment I said it in faith, something happened. Changes begin first in the realm of the spirit. I'm attacking the issue from the root. I'm cursing it from the root. When Jesus cursed that fig tree, did you notice that the leaves were still green? The thing was still normal. When he said it, it looked as if physically nothing happened. But do you know in the realm of the spirit, that tree died? Changes happen first in the realm of the spirit. It takes time for them to manifest in the physical. For the case of the fig tree, it took 24 hours. So I continue cursing it. Anytime Satan bring it to my mind, I curse it in the name of Jesus. Command it to die, dematerialize. Until one day, I'll just be betting. I'll just realize, the thing don't go. The way and manner it left, I don't know. He knoweth not how. But all I know is that it has to go. Are you getting me? I don't care how it came. One thing I know, it must leave. Don't start bothering yourself how the pain came, how the sickness. What you should be interested in is it has to leave. Wherever it came from, it has to go there. Am I communicating? Are you learning something? You know, I'm sharing all this story with you because some of you, these are your challenges. You don't know how to receive. And there are too many roadblocks. And the Holy Spirit says I should deal with those roadblocks. Praise God. When you are prayed for, listen, I've taught you before, anytime there is marriage plus the anointing, a miracle is born. That's faith plus the anointing equals miracle, whether it is healing miracle or any other thing. Two things are needed, faith and what? The anointing, the power of God. Now, anytime there is marriage between both, a miracle is born. Now, if you have been, hands have been laid on you, you have been prayed for, words have been spoken over you. Am I communicating? Any method healing has been ministered to you, either through spoken word or through laying on of hands or through prayer, anyone. Now, if truly you have received by faith, stop behaving and talking like someone that has not received. Whether or not there is instant manifestation of the healing or not, am I communicating? If for instance, someone with a pain, let's say stomach pain or abdominal pain or swelling, came with faith and the healing power of God was ministered to the person. Now, sometimes there may be instant cessation of the pain. That's the pain is gone and the swelling disappears. It can manifest like that. Wonderful. Wonderful. But some other times, there may be no instant sign to show that the person is healed. That means the healing, the manifestation is gradual in this case. Am I communicating? The first one, it was instant, but this one is gradual. And guess what? It's people that have gradual manifestation of their healing. They are the ones that are at a very high risk of losing their healing. Why did I say that? Because Satan will come with doubt. Satan will say, as you can see, the pain is still there. Are you sure you are healed? See the swelling, now the same size. You say they don't pray for you. Well, how come the healing? See. If I the swelling, they increase self. You know. Now, if you are in that category, what do you do? I will tell you what to do. If I were you, this is what I would do. Anytime I feel that pain, anytime my mind is directed back to the swelling, anytime Satan is bringing thoughts to my mind that nothing has happened, immediately I will respond. I will say it, in the name of Jesus, hands have been laid on me, words have been spoken over me, the healing power of God has been ministered to me, and I have received my healing, and no devil can steal it away, and I remain patient until it is fully manifested. I am the healed of the Lord. Satan, back off. Are you getting me? You understand you are in a warfare. It's a fight. Satan wants to steal that healing. He wants to push you to the arena of doubt and unbelief. You can't afford to be silent. If you are silent, you lose by default. Because this is how many people have lost their healing. Because Satan succeeded in convincing them that nothing happened, and they too agreed nothing happened. And at that point, you lost the healing. So you must maintain your stance in faith. Am I communicating? Kenneth Hagin talked about a woman that he ministered to. This woman, he laid hands on her, she had goiter, he prayed for her, it looked as if nothing happened. There was no instant disappearance of the goiter. Am I communicating? But the woman, she was so full of faith. The moment Kenneth Hagin laid hands, prayed for her, she believed she was healed. She was rejoicing, celebrating her healing. The next Sunday, she came to testify with the goiter. She was testifying, the brethren were touching it. Now, wow. That one, is she sure she is healed? After, even the brethren were doubting in church. She was testifying. there was no instant disappearance of the goiter, but the woman, by faith, she has received her healing. She knew that it was done, a done deal. Next Sunday, she came again and testified. I just want to thank God. I have suffered from this goiter for so years, and finally, God has healed me. I just want, brethren, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Which kind of healing? Sometimes, see, there are some company of people you should not return back to after God has healed you. Doubters FA, Doubters Association. Association of unbelief, including unbelieving believers. Yes, don't return to that kind of people. Some of you, these are the people you have as friends. They gather you everywhere. You tell them, ah, God has healed me. God has finally done it. They say, hey, are you sure? How come the thing is still? And before you know, you too, you go back to doubt and unbelief. You lose your healing. So, the brethren started talking against this woman, started lambasting, to the point that this woman then, she went back home one day, she cried, say, oh Jesus. He said, I know you have healed me, but look at what these people are saying. Just because they have not seen the manifestation of the healing yet. He said, Jesus, for their sake, not for my sake, oh, for their sake, let them see it. And that was how everything disappeared. So, the next time the brethren saw her, they changed their mind. But the woman, I like her faith. She did not need to see the goiter disappear before she believed that she was healed. When did she receive her healing? When hands were laid on her and she connected in faith. When did it finally manifest to the unbelieving believers? When they saw the thing disappeared. Don't become, let me tell your neighbor, don't be an unbelieving believer. Am I communicating? This is very important. Because the manifestation of healing can be instant, it can be gradual. Many people, they easily believe the instant one. Where they have issues with the gradual manifestation. And I said these are the ones at a very high risk of losing their healing, except they are properly taught. That's why I'm teaching you. God have said I should lay hands on everybody in this last service and anoint them. Don't just come, they say, Papa say you go lay hands on us. Just lay hand now. Lay hand now. Moku see. Don't. Some people are funny. Don't become like that too. Come with expectation in your heart. Am I communicating? Come with faith, believing God that as hands are laid on me, the power of God, the anointing is being released upon me. I'm receiving an impartation. I'm receiving my miracle. I'm receiving my healing. I'm receiving anything you are trusting God for. Connect it with your faith. Am I communicating? Let your faith come alive. Glory to God. This is very important. Give me that verse in that Job that says Satan struck Job with boil from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Are you learning something? Job 2:7. It says, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boil. From who? From where? From the sole of his feet unto his crown. Now, let me ask you a question. This boil came from God or Satan? Which one, according to this verse? The devil. Very clear. Sickness is from Satan. I just showed you two scriptures to confirm that. John Alexander Dowie. How many of you have heard of him? Mighty healing apostle. He said, there was a time, he was a pastor, pastoring a church in Chicago. There was a time there was a serious plague, killing people, sickness. And then the revelation of healing had not become prominent in the body of Christ. Then people were still teaching sometimes God used sickness to humble people, God used all of that. So he was not sure. He was not sure. He thought that the sickness, this plague, was from God. So he kept burying his church members. Every now and then they will call you, hey, burial. They don't, another person has died. Another one has died in the hospital. He did funeral service upon funeral service, burial upon burial, until he got tired. He got tired of burying his church members from that plague. He wanted answers. He went to the Bible. He wanted to know, is sickness God's will? Is it from God or is it from the devil? He wanted to know. So he started studying the Bible, and then suddenly, bam, Acts chapter 10 verse 38. He stumbled on Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Hi! And light, revelation, light came. His understanding was open. He read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He said, as he meditated on this scripture, bam! It's as if floodlight from heaven flooded him. And he said it revealed Jesus as the healer, God as the healer, and Satan as the defiler. Satan as the one responsible for sickness and disease. And then he arose with anger. And then they told him, another of your church member is dying in the hospital with the plague. And he went with anger this time around. He knew that Satan is responsible for this sickness, and this sickness is not the will of God. And then he casted out that spirit. He ministered healing in the name of Jesus, commanded the person to be healed. The person got healed. And that was how, by this understanding, he put an end to the plague that was ravaging his church member. Am I communicating? He said it revealed God as the healer, Jesus as the healer, Satan as the oppressor, Satan as the one defiling people with sickness. Am I communicating? Let it be clear beyond every iota of doubt. Some theologians have used Paul's stone in the flesh. Give me that 2 Corinthians 12 that many people have misunderstood. They say even almighty Apostle Paul had a sickness. That even prayed to God 3 times that God should take away the sickness. God refused to answer. Have you heard those kind of explanations? Oh my God. See, my people perish from lack of knowledge. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul's stone in the flesh. Just go down. Give me where... No. Give me verse 7. From verse 7. Okay. It says, "And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." It says, "There was given to me." Now watch. See, read your Bible. Open your eyes. Take note of the words. Take note of the tenses. Paul said, "There was given to me." Did he say God gave to me? Did he say God gave to me? He said, "There was given to me." Follow me carefully. A thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. Did he say sickness? Was there any mention of any sickness there? Or eye disease? Because some people say it's eye disease, ophthalmia. that Paul even confirm it in Ezekiel, that he said, "I wish I would plug my eyes and give it to you people." Said the eye disease was so terrible that Paul wished that he would just yank off the eye and dash the believer. You see how people misinterpret scriptures? Just follow me. He says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan." See, stop reading your religious mind into Bible. Stop making the Bible to say what it did not say. This verse, it says, the thorn in the flesh. We are not left
in doubt what the tone is? The Bible clearly showed us what the tone was. He said, the messenger of Satan, that is the tone that was given to him. Messenger of Satan, not sickness. Am I communicating? Messenger. Now, let me ask you a question. This messenger, who sent him? Satan. There was given to me. Now, let me ask you a question. Who gave to Paul the tone? It's so clear. If that demon is a messenger of Satan, that means Satan sent him. That means it was Satan that gave to Paul the tone in the flesh. And the tone in the flesh was not literal. It was a metaphor. It was a figure of speech. It was figurative to explain the messenger of Satan. Am I communicating? So it's not a literal tone. It's not a sickness. He says to buffet me. Now, this messenger of Satan was responsible for all those things Paul suffered. All those shipwreck, all those people inciting riot against him, all those times they stoned him. They stoned him to death until he came out of his body and entered back. They were under a demonic influence. It was that messenger of Satan. Am I communicating? Buffeting him. There was a time, you remember that riot in Ephesus, that for 2 hours, the Bible said people were just chanting, shouting for 2 hours, non-stop. And many of them there don't even know why they were shouting. They were under a demonic influence. There was a time some people took a vow that they will not eat nor drink until they kill Paul. You think that's normal? These are the operations of that messenger of Satan. Am I communicating? Most of the persecution Paul suffered and many of those things that you read about in his missionary journey, in peril of robbers, in peril of my countrymen, how many times the Jews flogged him, 39 strokes, you understand? But it is believed, they give you 40, you will die. So they reduce one, 40 save one. Praise God. 3 times, they beat him. Then another time, they beat him with rod. You think those people were just doing it? They were under the influence of this messenger of Satan. Why? Because Paul was preaching the gospel. It was a heavy threat to the kingdom of darkness. Now watch this. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. So please take note that this stone in the flesh is not literal. It is a figure of speech. It's a metaphor to explain the messenger of Satan. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now watch this. He said, I prayed to God, Lord, take away this messenger of Satan 3 times. Now listen. There are 2 kinds of prayer God will never answer. Number one, telling him to do what he has already done. Number two, telling him to do what he already told you to do. Follow me carefully. When Jesus gave to us the power of attorney to use his name, when he gave us his authority and power over demons and Satan, it is wrong to now pray to him to cast out demons for you. You don't tell God to do something about the devil. You exercise your authority over demons. There's a big difference between the two. The mistake Paul was making here is that he's telling God to come and do something about this messenger of Satan. Am I communicating? Meanwhile, God have already given us authority over all devils, including this messenger of Satan. What Paul should have done is to exercise his authority over that messenger of Satan. That's a demon. Didn't he give us all authority and all power over demons? Am I communicating? He said, I besought 3 times that it might depart. Next verse. This teaching alone is bringing deliverance to so many people. He said unto me,
Now, people say Paul prayed 3 times. God say, no, just bear the sickness. Manage it like that. It's not my will for you to be healed. It's my will for you to endure the sickness. That is how people have interpreted this verse. But that's not what the Bible teaches. When Paul prayed 3 times, God did not say no to his prayer. Rather, what was God's response? Look at it. Don't read your mind into Bible. Look at what the Bible... Did God say no? Did God give a negative response to his prayer? No. Look at what God said. He said unto me, my grace, can you hear God's answer? Can you hear God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made what? Perfect in your weakness. In other words, God is saying, come on, Paul, take advantage of my grace and deal with this messenger of the devil. Take advantage of my power. I've given you all authority, all power over all devils. God is saying, take advantage of my grace. That was God's response. The people that have believed a lie about Paul's stone in the flesh, they've never cared to study the Bible like this. They've never cared to check it for themselves. They just believed it because somebody taught it so. Am I communicating? It's not correct. So never forget it. Paul's stone in the flesh was not sickness. It was not literal. It was a figure of speech. It's a metaphor used to describe the messenger of Satan. And after Paul prayed 3 times to God to take it away from him, God did not refuse his request. Rather, God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, God is saying, take advantage of my grace, take advantage of my power that I've already given you, and deal with the devil. Am I communicating? Use your authority. Can you remember the story in Kenneth Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority? He gave one very interesting story of how in a vision, you know, Jesus was standing that way, and then Jesus was speaking with him, and then in the process of the conversation, Jesus was teaching him something very important. One monkey looking demon just came, the demon came in between them all, such that he was no longer hearing Jesus very well, and Jesus continued talking as if nothing happened. Kenneth Hagin was expecting Jesus to do something about that demon. Meanwhile, Jesus is expecting him, Kenneth Hagin, to do something about it. Why? Because he has given us his authority in his name to cast out devils, to deal with demons. So you don't cry to God to do something about the devil. Use your authority in Christ, your God-given authority and power, and deal with the devil. Am I communicating? He said Jesus just continued talking, but he was not hearing. He got frustrated until out of anger, he commanded the demon, in the name of Jesus, out. And then the thing left. Then Jesus said, if you had not done that, he says, I cannot. He said, what? So how can you say you cannot? Maybe you meant I will not. Jesus said, no, I cannot. He said, because I've given you my authority. If Kenneth Hagin had not done something, Jesus will do nothing. Are you learning something? This is very important. That's why I said this teaching will probably bring more deliverance and healing to people. That we please share this message with many people. They need to hear it. Because a lot of people have been religiously brainwashed. They have been wrongly taught. We need to correct a lot of mindset. So never forget that sickness is not the will of God. It's never the will of God. Sickness is a foul offspring of its mother sin and its father Satan. Adam and Eve were in the garden. We never heard they had headache or they were ever sick. Did you ever read like that? Never. Until sin came in, there was no sickness. It was sin that gave birth to sickness. So that sin nature was the mother of sickness. And Satan himself is the father of sickness. Am I communicating? So after the fall of man, sickness came into the world. But thank God Jesus came. Thank God for his redemptive sacrifice. Healing and other miracles are a manifestation of God's nature of love. You will always read that Jesus was moved with compassion and he ministered to the sick. Okay? So it's a manifestation of God's love nature. Healing and other miracles is a manifestation of God's nature of goodness. Psalm 119 verse 68. It says, "For thou art good and doest good." God is a good God. Let me tell your neighbor, God is a good God. He is not responsible for anybody's sickness. Rather, he is a solution to the sickness. Jesus is the healer. He said, "Thou art good and doest good." You see, goodness is God's nature. It is in his nature to be good. And there is no sickness in his nature. Healing is God's will. God wants you well, healed, whole. Give me 3 John verse 2. He said, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God wants you healed. His perfect will is for you to be in health. Now, under the old covenant, God revealed himself to his people as Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer, the Lord my physician. What does it mean? What does it mean? The word healing. To heal means to mend by stitching. You know the way you mend trouser or something? Those of you that are fashion designers in the house, the way you stitch things. Am I communicating? Let's say somebody's trouser tore and then you mend it by stitching. To heal means to mend by stitching, one. Two, to heal means to repair. To repair a broken body, broken cell, broken organ, broken bone, broken tissue, broken heart, broken emotion, broken soul, any part of your body, broken spirit, to repair. Next, to heal means to make whole. To make whole. God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer, or the Lord my physician, the Lord my doctor. Hallelujah. Give me Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26. It says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red." 26. Not 22, 26. "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes." This was under the Old Testament. He said, "I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that healed thee." Now, look up, look up, look up. This is another verse that needs careful study. Because if you just look at this verse the way it is in King James Version, you will think that God is the one putting sickness on people. But that's not the case. If you study it in the Hebrew, it's in the permissive sense. It's something like this. He said, "I will permit none of these diseases which I have permitted upon the Egyptian." So God is not the one that is the origin of the sickness and disease. Satan is. But however, God can permit it if you have permitted it. Are you getting the point? So it's not in the causative sense as it is in the King James Version. The Hebrew rendition is in the permissive sense. "I will permit none of this disease which I have permitted upon the Egyptian." Why? Because of the covenant he has with them. He says, "For I am the Lord that what? Healed thee." Now, in the Hebrew, it says, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healed thee. I am Jehovah your physician. Your personal doctor." Who is your personal doctor? Jehovah Rapha. Am I communicating? Give me Deuteronomy 7, similar story there. Deuteronomy 7:14. So, Jehovah Rapha is the Lord our healer, and under the covenant, healing is one of the covenant rights of every child of God. Do you know in the Old Testament they enjoyed healing as one of their covenant rights and privileges? Praise God. He said, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people." Can you shout amen? He says, "There shall not be male or female barren among you." Shout amen. This is part of the blessing of the covenant. And among even your cattle, there will be no barrenness. That's your business. Verse 15. Even animals, because of the covenant of blessings, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. I said, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. He said, and I will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but we laid them upon all them that hate thee. I told you in the Hebrew, this is in the permissive sense. If you want to put it correctly, it's something like this: I will permit none of these diseases. Am I communicating? I will permit none of these diseases. Glory to God. I say glory to God. By Jesus' redemptive sacrifice, he has already paid the price in full for your healing, for our healing and for our health. Healing and health are your covenant inheritance and right in Christ. Say with me, divine healing and divine health, they are a part and parcel of my covenant inheritance and my right in Christ. Yes, that's why healing and other miracles happen in the name of Jesus. They are available. The lame man at the gate called Beautiful, he was healed in the name of Jesus. Remember Acts 3 verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus." In other words, in the authority of Jesus. And that the name of Jesus carries all authority in heaven, on earth, even in the underworld. Am I communicating? Because God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things. And I told you the Greek word things there is not just things, inanimate object. It talks of beings, spirit beings. Am I communicating? Of things and beings in heaven. Who are the beings in heaven? The angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the ministering spirit, the 24 elders. Am I communicating? All the saints there. Is there all of them? They bow to the authority in that name. Of things on earth, things and beings on earth, they bow to the authority in the name of Jesus. And then things and beings under the earth, that's the underworld, the kingdom of darkness, headed by Satan. All of them, they are subject to the authority in the name of Jesus. That name has all authority and all power. It has authority over sickness. Am I communicating? I came from a program in Zaria, and I love the theme of the program. Annual Holy Ghost Convention. It was titled "The Name of Jesus." I was so excited. And we saw miracles happen in his name. And as I used the name and ministered to the sick, I used the name based on revelation. It's not just, see, the power in the name is not just the mentioning of the name. You must have the revelation and understanding of the authority and power that backs the name. Am I communicating? He said, "In my name they shall cast out devils." Why? Because the name contains authority over demons. In that name, you have authority over demons. So you can command demons to go out in that name, and they will obey you. But if you don't have revelation of the name, they will not obey you. And it's not their fault, it's your fault. You are using the name, you don't have the understanding, the revelation of the authority and power that the name carries. Am I communicating?
Peter and John, they demanded for the healing. Peter demanded for the healing of the lame man in that name. And then if you read that same Acts 3 verse 16, you will see that Peter later explained that it was through faith in the name of Jesus that gave the man his healing. Verse 16. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In other words, he's saying it is faith in the name that gave this man his healing. Are you getting the point? You must have the revelation of the name of Jesus. Somebody that was deaf was healed in that meeting. You know, somebody came with a growth. This one was instant. The growth disappeared in that meeting. So many miracles. It was a rain of miracles. A woman with fibroid got healed. The pain left. Even the fibroid, the swelling started going down right in our eyes. Am I communicating? All authority and power is in that name. A bank manager came, you know, with a ankle injury in that meeting. And through the power, as I ministered in the name of Jesus, that ankle injury was healed. The pain was gone. He said he could not, doctors even warned him that he should not trek for more than 5 minutes. They were telling him that the injury, he may need surgery. But he said after that ministration, he was even the last to testify of all the people that got healed. He said he wanted to be sure. So he said he trekked that Saturday. Miracle service was, we did a miracle service Saturday morning. He said he trekked for more than 30 minutes before he entered his car. No pain, nothing. And then he now came Sunday morning. He came and testified. Listen, miracles happen in that name. You saw during Glory Incense concert and crusade, you saw the healings, the deliverances, the miracles that took place. All it is in that name. When I'm using the name, I have an understanding and a revelation of the power that backs the name. I know that every sickness bows to the authority in that name. I'm not just chanting it. The name of Jesus is not one cliche. Some people even use it as exclamation mark to express surprise. Jesus. Some say, geez. Some use it to express surprise. Some use it to just, when they are frightened. You saw wall gecko, Jesus. That's, you know what it is called? Using the name of the Lord in vain. That's what it is called. What you are doing, you are using the name of the Lord in vain. Is that how they say you should use the name? Am I communicating? You use the name as an instrument to get things done, to make demand for your miracle, breakthrough, healing, etc. Use the name as a channel in prayer, not when you are surprised. Now you be this Jesus. You see people doing that? Don't do that. Tell your neighbor, don't do that again. You understand? You are using the name in vain. The power in the name of Jesus is not just mentioning in the name of Jesus. Do you know in the Bible, demons mention the name of Jesus? Demons mention the name of Jesus in the Bible. So the power is not in the mentioning of the name. I don't have time. I will show you several scriptures. Am I communicating? Remember the sons of Sceffas? The seven sons of Sceffas that were experimenting with the name until they met. They were even getting some success, oh, because those demons were lower cadre, until they met a high ranking demon. They say, in the name of Jesus, Ebota, come out. The demon look at them. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. That is a demon mentioning the name of Jesus. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? They couldn't answer the question. They lack revelation. The demon pounds on them. Seven souls dealt with them. The Bible says they fled naked and wounded. One demon possessed man dealt with seven people. Meanwhile, Jesus anointed, cast out seven demons from Mary Magdalene. And she became one of his partners, gospel financiers. Am I communicating? There are people that answer Jesus. There is this Brazilian player. He plays for Arsenal now. Gabriel Jesus. The power is not in the mentioning the name now. There is even one comedian, Ada Jesus. You understand? Have the revelation of that name. You understand? Have the it's not by Yeshua. You understand? It's not by that one, though. Yeshua Mashiach. In the name of Yeshua and Mashiach, come out. Do you have the revelation of the authority backing of that name? Are you getting my point? Jesus got that name, number one, through inheritance. Number two, the name was bestowed on him, bestowal. It was conferred on him. Number three, that name, he got it by conquest, by victory over Satan. He spoiled principalities and power. He arose victorious. You must understand what is behind the name. When I'm casting out demons, I understand that. And when I say come out, they have to come out. And I've told you before, they will come out when they know that you know they are supposed to come out. As long as you are still doubting like this, you are not sure, you are not persuaded, you lack revelation, that is when they will play with you. They will play with you, tire. You will do 10 hours, say you are doing deliverance. Have you met people like that? They are doing deliverance from morning till night. When people like A. Allen are even casting out demons in their name, A. Allen will tell a demon, I am A. Allen. I am. He doesn't even use the name of Jesus. He said, that one, that name is too high, self. Say, I am A. Allen. And the demon will scream and come out. You are struggling to use the name morning till evening. I heard the story of a man of God. He said some of his church members were doing deliverance from morning till night. They called him around 7. He said, sir, there is this person, we've been praying for the person, deliverance since morning. The man of God shouted, since morning? He said, not even put on speaker. He said, tell the demon that I said he should come out. He said, okay, thank you, sir. He said, Pastor so say, he said, we should tell you that you should come out. The demon said, hey, was it the one that said so? He said, yes. He said, okay, I will come out. What is it that the pastor know that they don't know? Am I communicating? There is something he knows that they don't know. The demon will obey him, he will not obey them. Am I communicating? One of the things that kill people's faith when they are casting out demons is that they put their faith in manifestations. Don't put your faith in manifestation, no. Put it in the word of God. Say, they shall cast out demons in my name. Some people think that when you are doing deliverance, if they never manifest, the thing never come out. See, it's part of the problem. I've casted out demons and there is manifestation. I've casted out demons and there is no manifestation. I don't put my faith in the manifestation. I put my faith in the word of God. When I say out, you are going out. Am I communicating? And I don't doubt my words. Wiggle Sword, apostle of faith, he casted out demon from a madman and there was no manifestation. Nothing. The guy did not fall down, shake, roll on the floor, nothing. The guy was even behaving more mad than before Wiggles Sword prayed for him. And when Wiggles Sword said, out in the name of Jesus, he said, you are free, you are healed. The people that brought the madman, they look at Wiggles Sword, he said, man of God, I better pray again. Say this one, look at how he's behaving. He said, take him away, he's free. They didn't believe him more. Wigusua walked away. They took him. The guy was scattering everywhere. They had to chain him. They call Wigglesworth again. That, the thing don't enter gear one. It's as if after the prayer, the thing became worse. Wigglesworth told them again that, I have commanded that demon. The demon has heard my voice. I'm not praying again. The guy is free. Do you know, by the time the guy slept and woke up the following day, he was totally free. No more madness, nothing. This is a man that understood his authority. He stood his ground. If he didn't have faith, if he didn't understand his authority and use the name in faith, do you know he will keep praying for him and be checking? He will pray small and check. And that is the problem with many people that do deliverance. Are you listening? What are the roadblocks to healing? And when we say healing, in this context, there are different dimensions of healing. Am I communicating? I know in your mind is only bodily healing you are thinking, but I want you to know healing of your body is just one. Somebody say just one. Let me give you the dimension of healing. There is bodily healing. If you are sick in your body, you can be healed. Then there is emotional healing. There are people that are sick emotionally. They are hurt emotionally. All those heartbreak, all those disappointment, all those hurt and all of that. You know, there are people that need emotional healing. Then there is spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. There are those that are disconnected from God. They have a broken spirit. Am I communicating? So there is a category of spiritual healing. Then there is mental healing. Mental healing. There are those that need healing in their mind. Mental healing. We are looking at Jesus the healer, remember. Then there is financial healing. Hey. So when we say healing Jesus, it's not just bodily healing or mental or emotional healing or spiritual healing. There is also financial healing. Tell your neighbor there is financial healing. There is healing for your finances. You know, some people are not on physical wheelchair, but they are on financial wheelchair. So if you are on financial wheelchair, get ready to rise and what? Walk. Am I communicating? There is financial healing. So in this miracle service, expect financial healing. Expect financial miracle. There is also family healing. Some families are sick. As in the family, nothing is working. There is family healing. God will heal your family. Amen. Things will start working. Amen. There is healing for your business. There are some people, their businesses are sick. Their businesses are sick. It needs healing. There is healing for your business. Business healing. There is healing for your career. There is healing for your academics. Some people are not sick physically in their body, but they are sick in their academics. They are sick in their career. Am I communicating? The good news is that there is healing for you. Some people, they need healing in their job, healing in their occupation. There is also territorial healing. There are territories that need healing. There are cities that need healing. There are nations that need healing. There is national healing. Am I communicating? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, he said, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. So there is territorial healing, there is national healing. For instance, Nigeria as a nation, you agree with me that we need healing. We need healing for our land. Am I lying? A nation that the citizenry are suffering all manner of economic trouble, and yet they are buying, is it SUV car for lawmakers, over how many billion, 60 billion? You've not read it in the news. They say we should be patient. The citizens should be patient. Meanwhile, 60 billion to buy cars for lawmakers. Not to talk of all the other allowances and salary. Some even collect allowances even if they don't come for sitting. You will agree with me, our nation need healing. Our government need healing. Am I communicating? And Jesus is the healer. I say Jesus is the healer. I say Jesus is the healer. So, what are the methods? What are the methods of administering healing? Scriptural methods. Scriptural method for administering healing, for releasing the healing power of God. Number one, through the spoken word of God. Through the spoken word of God. Through the word of God, spoken word. Psalm 107 verse 20. It started by saying, fools, because of their transgression and their iniquities are afflicted, they cried unto God in their suffering. It was a case of a terminal illness. Their soul drew near to the gate of hell, and they cried to God, and he sent his word. This is the number one channel, the number one method of releasing the healing power of God, of administering healing. He sent his word and healed them. So the word of God carries healing virtue. The word of God transmits the healing power of God. Am I communicating? Do you know, as I'm preaching to you right now, healings are taking place. Because the word of God carries healing power. The word of God can heal your body, and the word of God can keep you in health. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life to those that find them. They are health. The Hebrew word is mape, medicine to all their body. The word of God is medicine. The word of God has curative power. The word of God has therapeutic power. The word of God can heal you and keep you in health. Am I communicating? This is very important. This health to all your flesh, your body. He sent his word. His word healed them. It carried healing virtues. Carries healing virtue. If you read the story of the centurion servant, the healing of the centurion servant in Luke 7:1-10, because of time I will not read them. If you read that scripture, am I communicating? You remember when the centurion begged some of the elders of the Jews, he said, go and beg Jesus to come and heal my servant. And yet Jesus was on his way, especially when they told him that this man deserves it. He loves our nation. He has built us a synagogue. And then Jesus was going with them. And then the guy now sent some friend. He said, go and tell the master that I am not worthy for him to come under my roof. He should speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. He said, for I am a man under authority. In other words, I understand how authority works. And how does authority work? By speaking. You exercise your authority by speaking. Am I communicating? How do you exercise your authority over sickness? Speak the word of God. The healing power of God is released when you declare those healing scriptures. You speak in faith the healing scriptures. Am I communicating? Are you understanding this? Kelebo sabakataya. He said, I'm a man under authority. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. Watch this. He said, the same thing your presence will do, the same healing that will happen when you come physically and lay hands. He said, when you speak the word, that same healing will happen. Why? He said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this, go, he goeth. I say to this, come, he goeth. He cometh. He said, just like I've appointed over 100 soldiers and they obey my words. He said, you too, you are appointed in authority over sickness. When you say go, the sickness will go. When you say healing come, the healing will come. Am I communicating? And the Bible said, Jesus said, what? I've not seen such faith in Israel. He said, for this you're saying, your servant is healed. Am I communicating? How did Jesus minister healing to that sick centurion servant? by the spoken word. Jesus casted out demons with his words. He casted out demons with his words. You can release the healing power of God with words. Glory to God. Then the second way, second method of administering healing in scriptures is through the healing anointing. Somebody say the healing anointing. You see that in Acts 10:38, there is a tangible healing anointing, perceptible to touch. Most of the times I feel that anointing, even as I speak right now, I feel that anointing. Am I communicating? You can feel it like fire, you can feel it like electricity. It comes in different forms. Sometimes some people feel it like ice cold water. Through the healing anointing, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The healing anointing. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted." How? Through that healing anointing. Somebody said the healing anointing. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus was teaching, and then verse 17, Luke 5:17. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law were in attendance, and then the Bible said the power of God was present to heal. That is a tangible healing anointing. And then when the paralytic man carried by his four friends, when they connected in faith, they received their healing. So through the healing anointing is a second way of administering healing in scriptures. You remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus was moving around with a tangible healing power, healing anointing. The woman came with faith and connected. And the Bible says Jesus felt virtue left him. In other words, it was a tangible anointing. He was aware of the departure. The woman was aware of the reception. The moment she connected in faith, she collected her healing. Are you getting the point? That's the second way. The third way of administering the healing power of God is through the law of contact and transmission. And under the law of contact and transmission, under this law of contact and transmission, we have the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. Am I communicating? Give me James chapter 5 verse 14. The laying on of hands is a scriptural way of ministering to the sick. Hallelujah. He says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call of the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of Jesus." That's another way. Anointing people with oil. Am I communicating? I will be anointing everybody today. Whatever thing you are believing God for, whether it's healing or any other form of healing, bodily healing, healing for your finance, business, career, just connect in faith and receive your healing. Am I communicating? So, listen, the healing power of God, impartations, can happen through the laying on of hands. It's one of the doctrine, foundational doctrine in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. It talks of the doctrine of laying on of hands. It's a method of what? Impartation. Spiritual gift can be imparted. The healing power of God can be imparted through the laying on of hands. Am I communicating? There were people that Jesus laid hands on and then he released their healing. He touched the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. He touched the eyes of those two blind people that were following him. Am I communicating? So, under the law of contact and transmission, there is laying on of hands, one. Then there is what? Anointing with oil. Anointing with oil. Material medium. The use of material medium. And the use of material medium includes things like anointing with oil. And what are the rules that govern the use of anointing oil, holy water, all those material medium? Number one, you must be led by the Spirit. Am I communicating? You don't make a doctrine out of it. Make sure you are led to do it. Make sure you are led. And then you do it in a scriptural way. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Mark 6:13. So the healing power of God can be transmitted through the laying on of hands. It can be transmitted through the use of the anointing oil and other material mediums. He said they cast out many devils, Jesus' disciples, and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Can you see that? How did they transmit the healing power of God? Through what? Through what? Help me. The anointing oil. So, also, material mediums include garment, clothing material. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That was a material medium that was charged with the healing anointing. And the moment she touched, power discharged and entered her. And then in Mark chapter 6 verse 56, give me Mark 6:56. Give me verse 56. Whithersoever Jesus entered into villages or city or country, they laid sick people on the street and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. Can you see that? That's clothing material. And as many as touched were made whole. So the healing power was transmitted through his garment, clothing material. You remember handkerchief and apron of Apostle Paul. Give me Acts 19:11. Acts 19:11. Material mediums, including handkerchiefs and apron. Anything that comes in contact with the anointed, the anointing upon the anointed can rub on it. It can become a material medium for transmitting the healing power of God. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Next verse. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or apron. He said the diseases departed from them and the evil spirits went out of them. Can you see this? Actually, there is really nothing special about the miracle. What is special is the method by which the miracle took place. Am I communicating? It was the method. That's the use of what? Material medium, handkerchief or apron. It's actually the method that is special. Okay? So you see that the handkerchief or apron, they were charged with the healing power of God. And the moment they come in contact with the recipient, they discharged and released that power. Like storage batteries. Am I communicating? And the healing and deliverance happen. Then, the last method of administering healing I will give you for today is through the manifestations of the Spirit. Through the manifestation of the Spirit. Give me 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. Through the what? Manifestation of the Spirit. So healing can happen. The healing power of God can be released through the spoken word of God. It can be released through the healing anointing. It can be released through the law of contact and transmission. That is through laying on of hands, through anointing with oil, through the use of material medium like handkerchief, apron, clothing materials, garment, even bones. Remember the bone of Elisha brought the dead back to life. Then the fourth way is through the manifestations of the Spirit. It said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Next verse. It said, for to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit. Next. It said, to another faith. These are the power gifts. To another, gifts of healings. Gifts of healings by the same spirit. Then next. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And then the interpretation of tongues. There is gifts of healings. It's in plural because there are so many sickness. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Healing can happen through the manifestation of power gifts, like gifts of healings, and then workings of miracle, and then gift of faith. And most of the time, this gift of healing, it goes together with the revelation gifts, especially word of knowledge, and sometimes discerning of spirit. Am I communicating? They go together most times. Because the revelation gift will reveal the case. Then the healing gift will handle it. God reveals to redeem. Am I communicating? The manifestation of the Spirit. Who did Jesus minister to this way? The man in John chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda. You remember that story? John chapter 5 verse 1. That man that was laid at the pool of Bethesda. He was there for 38 long years. And then Jesus came and the Bible said Jesus knew he had been in that condition for a long time. How did Jesus know? It was a word of knowledge, revelation gift. God revealed that case specifically to him. Am I communicating? And then what did Jesus do? He ministered to him. He said, do you want to be made whole? The man was giving stories. He said, I have no man. This one, while I'm trying to jump in, another jumper before. Jesus looked at him. He said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. Am I communicating? It was healing. Jesus ministered healing to him by the manifestation of the Spirit there. The word of knowledge and then the gifts of healing. That was how Jesus ministered to him. And then if you notice, after Jesus ministered to him, he did not walk to any sick person there again. Even though there were a rendezvous of broken humanity, there were so many sick people there. Why didn't Jesus go to everybody? It's very simple. God only revealed that man's case to him. Now, does that mean everybody else that was sick there cannot be healed? They can be healed. How? By faith. If they had come with, like the woman with the issue of blood, with their faith and connected, they would have been healed. But Jesus did not go to them because God did not reveal their case to him. But that does not mean it's not the will of God for them to be healed. It's just that the method by which they will have to receive their own healing will be different. Do you understand the point? You need to know these things. Because sometimes you see a man of God can go to come to a row of so many sick people and just minister to this person and minister to that one and leave. Is it because he only likes their face? No. It's because that's the case God revealed to him. Can every other person get healed? Yes. How? By their faith. All they need to do is to connect with faith to the anointing. Am I communicating? Jesus ministered to that man by the manifestation of the gift of healing, word of knowledge, and then he conveyed himself away from there. Ah! I read that. I say, Mogbe. The sick people allowed him to go without receiving their own healing. Eh? If I were sick, if I were there, I won't allow Jesus go. I will do what the woman with the issue of blood did. Whether they call my case or not, me, I must call my case by faith. It's simple now. The woman with the issue of blood, did Jesus mention her case? Did Jesus have word of knowledge about her? In fact, do you know he was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter? They came and begged him. Say, this Jairus' daughter, she's at the point of death. Oh, come and lay your hands. Then they were waiting for laying on of hands. Jesus was on his way going. The woman came and stole the show. Jesus did not have her on his schedule. She had Jesus on her own schedule. She came with faith. He said, if I may but touch. Because she understood healing was God's will for her. Are you getting my point? I showed you all this method because God can use any and every of these methods to release your healing to you, to release your miracle. Now, the methods are not mutually exclusive. God can combine two or more of these methods. Am I communicating? They are not mutually exclusive. So, before we pray, what are those hindrances or roadblocks to receiving your healing? Number one, ignorance. Hosea 4:6, my people perish from lack of knowledge. They are destroyed because they lack which kind of knowledge? Revelation knowledge. If you are ignorant of the fact that Jesus himself has already paid the price for your healing, for your miracle, If you are ignorant of the finished work of Christ, if you are ignorant of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, if you are ignorant of the scripture that says, by his stripes we were healed, surely he has borne our grief, he carried our sorrow. It says, by his stripes we were healed. If you are ignorant of that, Satan will oppress you with sickness. And then you remain with it. But what is the cure? Somebody say revelation knowledge. And that is why light is coming to you. Isaiah 5:13, it says, my people are gone into captivity because they lack knowledge. Lack knowledge of what? The finished work of Christ. Of who they are in Christ. Are you aware that healing is one of your covenant rights? Healing belongs to you in Christ. Based on what Jesus has done. Ignorance is a major cause of captivity. Ignorance is the number one. And the only cure is revelation knowledge, the light of revelation knowledge. Another hindrance to people receiving their healing is guilt and condemnation, sponsored by sin consciousness. Guilt and what? Condemnation. That feeling of unworthiness. That's they feel they are not worthy of the miracle. They feel maybe because they did something wrong, therefore they are not qualified for healing. Guilt and condemnation. Let me tell you something. Look up. 1 John 3:20. This scripture changed my life. 1 John 3:20. Let me show you this. 1 John 3:20. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Hold it here. Look up. That your heart is condemning you because of your sin does not mean God is condemning you. You know, most of the time, this is the mistake we make. Yes, we have done what is wrong. It's not good. Yes, it's not good. But look at the problem. Our heart, our conscience start condemning us for what we have done wrong, for that sin. And then we now equate it to God. We now say, hey, God is condemning me. Read this scripture again. Did he say it is God that is condemning you? Read it again. If our heart condemn us, he said God is greater than heart. That means God is not the one condemning you. It's your conscience that is condemning you. Am I communicating? Should I surprise you? God does not condemn his children. You cannot prove it from the Bible that God condemns us. It's not in the Bible. I've studied this, but I've not seen anywhere in the New Testament that God condemns us. Rather, the Bible says, who shall bring a charge? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? He said, it is Christ that died. Yea, is the one that is risen. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Do you know why God cannot condemn a born-again Christian? Shall I tell you? Because you are in Christ. Jesus is the head. You are the body. Can you condemn the body without condemning the head? So, because you are in Christ, God cannot condemn you because he cannot condemn Jesus. Listen, when you sin and mess up, the Holy Spirit will correct you. He can correct you. He can help you to overcome that weakness. That's why when you sin, don't run away from God. Don't run away from the presence of God. Run to him. He said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because that is a time of need. You need his grace. You need his mercy. Stop running away. What makes people run away is condemnation. Is guilt. And is sponsored by Satan and their conscience. Even after they have prayed, and they say they have prayed, they've received forgiveness, but they are still feeling condemned. You know the problem? Sin consciousness. God doesn't want you to be sin conscious. He wants you to be righteousness conscious. Be conscious of your righteousness in Christ. The Bible says God has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus has made you righteous by his blood. Am I communicating? Stop feeling unworthy. Stop feeling condemned. Stop feeling guilty. This is a major roadblock to receiving healing, what I'm trying to correct. These are the things that short-circle the anointing. Some people don't feel worthy for God to heal them. Say, after all, I messed up before this HIV came. I was sleeping around. So this is a punishment from God for my yeye lifestyle. So they are now living with that guilt. But what does the Bible say? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Receive forgiveness through his blood. And see, come out of that condemnation. Come out of that guilt. Any sin you have repented of, stop meditating on it. Stop waiting for feeling. Forgiveness is not a gift for soberness. Am I communicating? Stop waiting to feel forgiven before you know you are forgiven. It has nothing to do with feelings. Praise God. These are the things that stop people from receiving their healing. This yeah sense of guilt and condemnation. You need to fight it the way you fight sickness and poverty. Even David in the Old Testament, before Jesus died, he knew God as a forgiving God. He said, who forgiveth? Give me Psalm 103, verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And what are those benefits? Next verse. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? The same sacrifice that brought forgiveness, that dealt with all your sin, also dealt with your sickness and disease. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? He has paid the price for your sin. He has paid the price for your sickness. Stop living in guilt. God is not the one punishing you. Am I communicating? This is what stops many from receiving their healing. Say, the reason why I'm barren, I did plenty abortion when I was young. I did so many abortions. So God is punishing me now. God is punishing me now. God is punishing me now. You are busy praying for the person. Meanwhile, guilt and condemnation is blocking the flow of the anointing. They cannot receive their healing. They can't receive their miracle baby because of that guilt and condemnation. It's blocking the pipe. God is not punishing you. Yes, abortion is bad. Yes, you messed up. Yes, receive your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Repent and stop living in guilt. Stop living in condemnation. That is of the devil. Am I communicating? Somebody came to me for counseling. He said he went on a mountain to pray, prayer and fasting. He made up his mind to pray and fast on the mountain. He said from day one, as he lifted up his voice, shagabagaba, he said, Satan, just... He didn't say Satan. He said, according to him, he said, God then reminded him of a sin he committed. A sin he committed. And he said he has repented of it. He said, God, now according to him. So when people say God said, I have to analyze, is it really God? Because sometimes it's their mind, their heart, their mindset. Are you getting me? Sometimes it's even the devil. He said, God then reminded him of a sin he committed. I then asked him, I said, so what next? He said, the moment that thought came to his mind, he said, at that point, he didn't feel like praying again. All his zeal dried up. He said, he couldn't pray again. He started feeling bad. I said, what did you do next? He said, he couldn't continue the prayer and fast. He said, he went back home. He said, even Bible, he could not read again. I looked at him. I said, what if I tell you it was not God that reminded you of that sin? I started showing him from the Bible. I said, that's not God. God does not remind. He said, I am he that blots out your transgression and will remember thy sins no more. It was not God. It was the devil. It was the devil. It has happened to many of you. You say you are praying. Before you know, the devil will just flash that your mess up. You just bring it. The people, they pray. You too, you they pray. So even if God go hear people, he suppose hear you. You too, you can't think it's not true. Is that, you know, guilt, condemnation is from the devil. Am I communicating? Let's move on. Next, fear. The next hindrance or roadblock to healing is fear. Fear. The fear of failure, the fear of sickness, the fear of death. You know, the moment people are sick, the next thing, Satan attacks their mind with fear. Fear of what? Death. Because sickness is incipient death. And sometimes this fear is fueled by past experiences. Past experiences of people that were not healed. Your loved ones. Including some people that, you know, watch this. Be careful of all those past experiences. Because Satan will replay those pictures. So he will tell you, can you remember that your auntie, that your uncle, that your friend that was sick, that you people pray and yet the friend died? He will now tell you that the same thing will happen to you. You must know how to deal with those things. Am I communicating? You must deal with those things. Especially when your loved ones that were so close to you, you see, pray, the people pray, and yet the person still died. Now, if you don't know how to deal with that thing, do you know that past experience can affect your faith for healing? If you don't deal with it. Because those things will keep coming, and it will put fear into you. I say, if you don't do anything, you too, you will die. Satan will start talking to you. Job said, Job 3:25, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has happened to me. Am I communicating? I was ministering in Zaria, a woman that God healed of stomach pain and all of that. She met me after the service that God have healed her and all of that. And then she said, I'm afraid. I said, afraid of what? That the thing may come back. I said, what? I had to help her to deal with that fear. Because that fear can make her lose her healing. Am I communicating? You have to deal with fear. These are hindrances, roadblock. Next. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Romans 8:15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of fear leads to bondage. The spirit of fear is a tormentor. It torments people. The next hindrance to healing is doubt and unbelief. Mark 11:23. Doubt and unbelief. Mark 11:23. Very, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Mark that word. Shall not doubt in his heart. But believe that those things which he said to come, which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So in other words, doubt in your heart can block you from walking. And it can block the flow of the healing anointing to you. Am I communicating? So you deal with doubt. James chapter 5 talks about, James 1 verse 5. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally, and then he upbraideth not, it shall be given him 6. He says, let him ask in faith, not in fear, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. He says, for let no such man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. He says, a double-minded man. Somebody that is doubting is double-minded. He's unstable in all his ways. The person will receive nothing. Am I communicating? Then Mark 6:5. Mark 6:5. Doubt and unbelief is a major hindrance to people receiving their healing. He could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. You see? Next verse, look at the reason why he couldn't do mighty work. He marveled because of what? Their unbelief. In his hometown in Nazareth, he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about round the villages teaching. Why was he teaching? To build their faith and in order to overcome that unbelief. Am I communicating? Now there is the unbelief that is due to ignorance. Then there is the unbelief that is due to unpersuadableness. That's you not being persuaded in the truth. There is the unbelief that is due to ignorance. You don't know at all. Then there is the one that is because you are not fully persuaded. You are not completely convinced. Unpersuadableness. Sometimes those negative past experiences of failures in terms of receiving your miracle and healing can produce doubt and unbelief in you if you don't check it, if left unchecked. Am I communicating? So you deal with doubt, you deal with unbelief, hardness of heart. Then also another hindrance to healing is unforgiveness and bitterness. Okay, Galatians 5 verse 6, it says faith worketh by love. Somebody say unforgiveness, somebody say bitterness. It can block your faith from working. Faith worketh by love. Galatians 5 verse 6. Unforgiveness and bitterness is a major hindrance. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, non circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Give me this in Amplified. Faith is activated by love. Faith is operative by love. So love is the engine of your faith vehicle. And you know, when your engine has knocked, you can't use the vehicle. Am I communicating? Is it but only faith activated, energized, expressed, and walking through love? Not through unbelief, not through unforgiveness, not through bitterness, but through what? Love. So love is the energy of faith. Without love, your faith is impotent. When you function in unforgiveness, your faith becomes impotent. When you are bitter, your faith becomes impotent. Hebrews 12:15. Am I communicating? There are so many people that the reason why they find it difficult to receive their healing and miracle is because they are harboring unforgiveness in their heart. And that unforgiveness in their heart, they have refused to let go. Some have even vowed, I will never forgive this person. I will never forgive my father for what he did to my mother. I will never forgive my father. He raped me. I will never forgive that boyfriend that took away my virginity. He no go better for him. He jilted me and go marry somebody else. I swear for him. Tell your neighbor, forgive and forget. Forgive. Forgive everybody in advance. Do you know if you refuse to forgive, it's like you are drinking poison and expecting the person to die. Unforgiveness is poison. This is poison. It will start by destroying you. Some people that you have even refused to forgive, do you know that they don't even know that they offended you? Some of them are not even aware they offended you. And you are this. Unforgiveness will open the door to demonic torment. He said, looking diligently, lest any of you fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So the root of bitterness can trouble you. Bitterness can trouble your body. Bitterness can trouble your mind. You know, some people, every time they sleep, they are oppressed in their dream. Why? Because they are harboring unforgiveness and bitterness. It has opened the door for demonic tormentors. Close that door by what? Walking in love and choosing to forgive. No matter what somebody has done to you, what should you do? Forgive. Then the next roadblock or hindrance to receiving your healing is offense. Somebody say offense. Offense that can lead to anger. Offense that leads to dishonor. Offense. Luke 7:22. Offense is a major blocker, a major hindrance to people receiving their healing. Some are even offended at the man of God God have sent to minister healing to them. Say, ah, see the way he pour spit for my face. Now healing I can't collect. Now spit they pour for my face. Am I communicating? Offense. Some are offended at God. Some are offended at his anointed servant that God have sent to bless them. And they expect to receive. It doesn't work like that. Jesus, remember John the Baptist? Do you know why John the Baptist lost his head? His offense. I will show you. He said, Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, tell John whatsoever it is ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor. To the poor the gospel is preached. Look at 23. Open your eyes. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. To tell you what has happened to John the Baptist. He was in the prison. Open mouth for women matter. So they put him in prison. Now listen. The main problem why he died is not even because of that, say, put mouth for women matter. I will tell you why. His offense, so that was what made him die. He would have been delivered if he was not offended in Jesus. Remember, they are cousins, so it's not Jesus with 6 months. They are cousins. He was hearing of all the mighty miracle Jesus. He said, how come, you know, they didn't do one prison break, bring me out. He then sent two of his disciples. He said, go and ask him. Ask Jesus. That same Jesus that he baptized to. That same Jesus that he told the people, there cometh one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoe I'm not unworthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That same Jesus. He got offended in that Jesus. By and by. He said, go and tell him, I'm the one. Are you? Or should we expect another? And they came and met Jesus in his healing crusade. Jesus said, tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk. The gospel is preached to the poor. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. To tell you that John the Baptist is already offended in him. And that offense costed him his head. Say with me, I refuse to be offended at God. You know, there are people that are keeping malice with God. They are quarreling with God. They are already offended in God. God, all my mates have married. See me. Am I see your daughter? Or am I your foster? Is it foster daughter they call it? Are you sure I'm your real daughter? Or you adopted me from orphanage? Are you getting me? All my mates are driving car now. See me. I still they argue with bike man for change. See? They are offended. Some people say they are praying, but 90% of the prayer is protest and complaint. Some are even threatening God. God, if you don't do something, I will do something. No? I will enter native doctor house. Go look for solution. God, now your mate. Let me tell you, remove God from your blame list. God is not your problem. He is your solution. Let me tell you, neighbor, God is not part of your problem. Rather, he is the solution to your problem. So stop blaming God. And don't be offended in him. Let me show you another case of offense. Look at Jesus in his hometown. Mark chapter 6 verse 1. Mark 6, 1, very fast. He went out, came to his country, disciple followed, verse 2. And then he went, Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence are this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works, the mighty works there are miraculous works, are wrought by his hands. Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and not his sisters here with us? Over familiarity. And then they were what? Look at the result. They were what? They were offended. They were offended. You can't receive with offense in your heart. You can't receive. they were offended at him. Can you now see? Offense will block the flow of the anointing. They say, physician, heal yourself. We have heard of all your mighty work. Come to one for your village. Offense. Offense. You need to learn, develop a skill of dealing with offense. You see, me, I made up my mind. I say, everyone God is using to bless me, I will never be offended in them. And listen, you know, it doesn't mean there won't be opportunities for offense to come. It's just that I look for ways never to be offended in them. It's a choice. Bishop Oyedepo said, Kenneth Hagin, Papa Ia Adeboye, Kenneth Copeland, he said, I find no fault in them. Everything they do is correct. Why? Because he understands the principles of no offense. There are some people, every time they are always seeing what is wrong with their pastor. That's the only thing they see all the time. And they wonder why the anointing upon their pastor is not blessing them. Offense has blocked your eyes, and it has blocked you from benefiting. Look at Naaman in 2 Kings, the Syrian. Interesting story. Mighty man of valor. He was the Syrian captain, general, but he was a leper. And then one of the Israeli maid suggested to her mistress that if he goes to Israel, prophet, almighty prophet Elisha will heal him. And then he accepted, he went, and then he was at the door. Instead of the man of God welcoming, oh, welcome, oh, you came from a long journey, oh, you came all the way from Syria. The man of God did not even come out. The man of God said, he told his servant, go and tell him, he should go and dip in the waters of Jordan 7 times, and he will be healed. When they told Naaman the Syrian, the Bible says he was offended. Read your Bible. He even became very angry. He said, what? Nonsense. He no even come out. He no even come out. Great work. No be you need healing. He said, the man of God no even show. Am I communicating? And to even make it worse, is even the waters, Jordan. Now he say, my go deep. Are the waters in my place not better? Although yeah, waterway algae don't become culture medium for algae and fungi. Now that one is my go offense. Offense. The Bible says he went away in a rage. Offense. See, you are not the one to choose the method by which God will heal you. It's not up to you. Thank God for his wise servants that came and met him. He said, Oga, no vex. So he said, if this prophet had told you to do something more difficult, wouldn't you have done it? Now you need healing now. He said, ah, not true. He then changed his mind and decided to obey. And when he went to deep, one, nothing happened. Two, three, he has to complete it. The moment he dipped the seventh one, he was cleansed. His skin was like that of a baby. Never allow offense to stop you from receiving. And don't become over familiar with the anointed. Because over familiarity is what leads to offense. Am I communicating? Let me give you wisdom. Any man of God you see, he has his humanity. There is the human side, then there is the divine side. It is up to you to ensure that you don't allow his humanity and his human weaknesses to stop you from receiving from the anointing and the grace on him. So you must train your eyes and ears to find no fault. Am I communicating? As long as he's following Christ, he's not leading you astray. You must refuse offense. Because the day you become too familiar and then it leads to offense, you will stop receiving from him. This is why sometimes leaders, workers in church for donkey years, nothing happens in their life. The grace and the anointing on their man of God is not blessing them. Why? They have become too familiar. Even amen, they cannot answer. God will bless you this week. They are chopping chingong. Some are even pressing, pimping their phone. Say, Papa still they preach. He never start professor. Abe, some will even say, Abe, wake me up when he done the professor. Over familiarity. That's why most of the times new members have more testimonies than old members in church. Because the old members have allowed what? Over familiarity to creep in. And then when you are very close with the anointed, that is when you should be more careful. Because the closer you come, the more you will be exposed to their weaknesses. Yes. And then you will now have more reason for you to become offended. So you can only be hearing testimonies of others getting blessed by the grace on that man of God. You wonder why your own is not forthcoming. Because of offense, over familiarity. I told myself, I will never be over familiar with anyone God has sent to bless me. And I take conscious steps to ensure I am not. Am I communicating? It's very important. It's a choice. Is a choice. Then the last hindrance, is it? Sorry, I'm taking time to teach like this because I'm under instruction. This teaching will bring a lot of healing to even more people than those here. Even though all of you here, God is going to heal every sick one here. But many more people will listen to this message. If Jesus tarried 10, 20 years later, this message will still be bringing healing to people. Because we need to hunt down all these hindrances so, and deal with them so that the power of God can flow unhindered, so that people can receive more miracles. Am I communicating? Because we can't be holding miracle service every month like that and you are not receiving. You are not receiving. Why? Because of these hindrances I've mentioned. Now that you know them, you know what to do. Every time you know, but now that you know those hindrances, you know how to deal with them. Am I communicating? So that you can receive your healing. Whether it is healing for your body, or healing for your finances, or your business, or your family, any form of healing. So that you can receive your miracle. It's a similar principle. The last one is disobedience. Disobedience. Okay? Disobedience. Disobedience. Give me Hebrews 3 verse 7. Disobedience to divine instructions and God's leading. Disobedience to divine instruction and God's leading. He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if ye will hear his voice, if you hear God's voice, what should you do? Next verse. He said, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your heart in disobedience, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Next verse. He said, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work 40 years. Next verse. He said, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. It grieves God, disobedience. And said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The children of Israel could not enter God's rest because of disobedience. They hardened their heart to his voice. Am I communicating? Disobedience. Give me Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse. Shabaraka sofrahatai. Verse 10. It says, such as sit in darkness. You will soon find out why they are sitting in darkness. And in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Let's find out why these people are bound with affliction and iron and sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Look at the reason. 11. Because, help me. 1, 2, 3, go. Because they rebel against the words of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High. Give me this in Amplified. They they rebelled, disobeyed God's word. They rejected, refused, spurned the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. NLT. Give me NLT. Say with me, I receive grace to obey divine instruction. I receive grace to obey the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. He said they rebel against the word of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That will not become your story. In the name of Jesus. In John 2:5, Jesus said, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. You want the miracle of turning water to wine? Mary told the servant the formula. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. In Luke 17, from 11 to 14, the story was told of how Jesus was passing through lepers' village. Those days, lepers don't mix with normal people. They stayed outside the camp. They have their own village. Jesus was passing through lepers' village. Just move to the next verse. And then the Bible says, as he entered that village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. They stood afar off. They could not come close. They said, Jesus, verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Next verse. And when Jesus saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. Somebody said divine instruction. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Somebody say obedience. Obedience. Kole gebalataya. Mande kepura kapataya. Ligras kapata. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I will not be disobedient to the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. All these hindrances and roadblock to receiving my miracle will not stop me. Ignorance will not stop me. Fear will not stop me. Doubt and unbelief will not stop me. Unforgiveness and bitterness will not stop me. Offense will not stop me. Am I communicating? Kebo Rabakasaya. Lebrekete. Have you been blessed today? Shagaba sovrehedia. Keli boroko sovrahataya. Rise to your feet. Mande keboko sabakata. Now, this is our last miracle service. Don't be in a hurry to go anywhere, because I'm going to pray and lay hands on everybody. There is an impartation for everybody, apart from any other special ministration I'm going to do. I'm going to anoint everybody with oil. Please, I don't like movement. I don't like movement. Just try and stay where you are to avoid distraction. Am I communicating? I'm anointing everybody. There is no miracle service again for this year. This is the last one. So make the sacrifice. Make the sacrifice. I know our time is fast spent, but just reformat your mind. Just reformat your mind. Reformat your mind. Reformat your mind. Reformat your mind. Okay? Now, come back. This is the last miracle service. Okay? Be patient for the remaining part of the service. And make sure you are a partaker to the end. Am I communicating? Now, can you lift up your voice? You just heard about a comprehensive teaching on Jesus the healer. Can you go ahead and just bless his name? Just go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Shakelo porasidi kila bakidas. Mende polesi vrakapatanas. Legebondre ketose tila bakatina. Shataka barondo sofrakapala katai. Go ahead and bless his name. Psalm 103, the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. He said, who healeth all thy diseases? Liko barakatai, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Verse 2 say, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Can you go ahead and bless his name for the forgiveness of sins? How much could you have paid for the forgiveness of your sin? Come on, bless his name for the forgiveness available through the blood of Jesus. The psalmist say, if thou makest iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. He said, for there is forgiveness with him, that thou mayest be feared, that thou mayest be referenced. Go ahead and bless him for forgiving your sins through the sacrifice of Jesus. Ligo barakatai. And then he said, who healeth all thy diseases. Thank him for your healing. Thank him for your healing. Lagabato segida. That sickness, Jesus has paid the price for your healing. Labaronde ke brakatai. That ulcer, that cancer, lekebatosa, that diabetes, that hypertension, that that tumor, that growth, that breast condition, liketola, that asthma, whatever it is, Jesus has paid the price for it. Go ahead, that hepatitis, that HIV, that sickle cell anemia, likeborakapata, that barrenness, go ahead and bless him. Liseketola, he said, who healed all the diseases. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Like pora sabalatina kalabakuska palatai leperekoto breketekete lekom breketeya. Is Jehovah Rapha, mandeke bora patata sabalataya lige borakatai. There are different dimensions of healing. Now lift up your voice. Begin to declare healing for every area of your life that you need healing. Whether it's your finances, begin to declare financial healing. Whether it is in your business, begin to declare, let the healing power of God, let it come upon my business. Whether it's in your job, your academics, you may need healing in your career, you may need healing in your body, healing in your mind, healing in your emotion, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, every form of healing. Go ahead, begin to bless his name. Kapate kebora balakasata balatizo brekete leketoza. Healing is your covenant birthright. Is your birthright in Christ. Is your covenant inheritance. Go ahead and begin to bless him. Shabalataya lekeborakatai mande subeletina. Kapaka bora sabalatina leketeketeke brekete. A quick work shall the Lord do. Labura balabalagada gabrakadai. I see impartations of the gift of healings. I see impartations of power gifts, spiritual gifts, gift of healings, workings of miracles. Sheleboragada, stretch forth your hands. There are people, God is raising the healing anointing upon them right now. You begin to feel it like fire. Lagabarakatai. In the name of Jesus, I'm seeing three people. The power, the healing power of God, leketeketekete, is flowing to you right now. In the name of Jesus, take it now. The healing fire, lagabasata, leketokete, help them. Palate, power gift is being distributed. Jalia Sule Pete Eko Baraka Patai Leke Brakatai. I'm seeing somebody like fire, that anointing is coming upon you like fire, you are being clothed with garment of fire. Take it now.
take it now. Shalaba sata eko baraka batai embrekete rondeke bo sabalatia palaraba kondekeba. Bring them forward. Help me. Shelly Asule Pete. The healing power of God is flowing. You are not just getting healed. There are impartations of the healing power. Take it, take it. Like fire, like electricity is coming upon you. Shele borose bilatatai, ragabagadai, ragabatai. Take the fire, manda balagabagadai. Shata tata taketo kaba, lepereketos, liga brande keba, labarande gebosa. I'm feeling tangible power on my hands like fire. Can you stretch forth your hands? The angels are releasing impartations upon your hands right now. Open your heart to receive. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands over you. Receive the impartations of the healing fire. Kabaleke barakatai, Ligo borondeke brakatai. I say, receive the healing fire. Kapata bakasata, leke boraka bakatai. Shalemonde gebosa, la pakatuze beletena, la brande kebosetete, leke boraka pata, la kapakata, rakapakata. Take the fire. Take the fire, shalabagadai. Kabarido boko selegedia, la baronde kebrakataya, manda kaba. There's somebody, I'm seeing a heavy prophetic anointing coming upon you now. Take, take, take. Lepora sepe, leke bakata, like a rain, like a flood. Shelia sabatia, rande kepo rakabata. Shalabarabaro sekete. Manda kabarakatai. Somebody's eyes is being anointed. Somebody, the seer anointing. Jali borakadia. Can you put your hands on your eyes? Put your hands on your eyes. Let teke 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 te. The Holy Ghost is opening somebody's eyes to the realm of visions, the realm of revelations. There are impartations. Your eyes are anointed with fire. You begin to see like never before. I release that seer anointing. Take it now. Abalido boko sete. Manda kaba. Somebody, I'm seeing an anointing for prophetic dreams. Prophetic dreams. Prophetic dreams. Liko teke barakatai. Prophetic dreams. Libaragadai. Anyone that you used to operate in the prophetic before, but it looks as if the thing is gone, I decree a restoration now. It is being restored now. The anointing come patabaya. Help them. It's being restored now. Bring them for me. Shaka barude kebalatai. Balakuske telemanda. Shalabaronde kebrekete. Madagabala gadosa. Somebody, I'm seeing the Lord remove the garment of disfavor, the garment of shame, the garment of shame. I tear it, I tear it. I clothe you with the favor of God. Receive a new garment of favor. Shabaledo bakasa. You will not be a reproach anymore. You will not suffer shame again. You will not suffer disgrace again. Shalabako sete libalakatai. Fresh fire. Fresh unction. Kataligo barakatai. Lekoborande kebosakatai. Kambaraska. Iloboko Segida. I'm seeing somebody running. The anointing for speed is coming upon someone. Liga bagada, labara, help them. Shalabada bala kuskete. The yoke of delay is broken. The yoke of stagnation is broken. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Receive the anointing for speed. Take patizo boraka. Take fresh fire. Anyone with stubborn headache, migraine headache, put your hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, I curse the headache. That recurrent migraine headache, die. Come out of their body. Be healed right now. In the name of Jesus.
So many pain are leaving people's body. Anywhere you are feeling pain, anywhere you are feeling pain, anywhere you are sick, put your hands there. I feel the healing power of God right now. The Lord wants me to minister to the sick. Put your hands anywhere you need a miracle. Whether it's on your back pain, neck pain, any pain, stomach pain, ulcer pain, pain in your eyes, pain in your ears, pain on your legs, your ankle, your knee. Put your hands anywhere you need a miracle. I'm going to pray. Are you ready for this? Whether it is an eye condition, ear condition, whether you have any growth or swelling, any part of your body, as I pray in the name of Jesus, the healing power of God will flow into your body right now, and every sickness is giving way. Are you ready for this? And as I pray, I want your amen to be very loud. Put your hands anywhere you need a miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. I take authority over every pain in any part of your body. I take authority over every swelling, over every eye condition, ear condition, condition of your head, your neck, a pain anywhere, your waist, your back, your knee, every abdominal condition, abdominal pain, ulcer pain, every blood condition, sickle cell disease, hear my voice, HIV, hear my voice, every form of hepatitis, every form of blood disease, menstrual disorder, every form of condition, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, be healed now. I command the pain to come out of your body now. I command the pain, be gone right now. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, receive the healing power of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Begin to check yourself. Do what you could not do before. If I just prayed for you right now, come forward. I'm going to lay my hands on you and perfect the healing. Come forward very fast. Shali gobo raka palatai. Limbrekete lendo sefrekedia. Kanda bora sabagadia. If I just prayed for you, come forward. I'm going to lay my hands on you and perfect the process. Lido sepeletiza barakatia, lebrondo sefreketia. As you are out, put your hand wherever you needed a miracle. Just put your hand there. In the name of Jesus. Leto sebila kapateni, sombreketea, lagabatuze bila kapatana. In the name of Jesus, I command headache. Out! Be healed. In the name of Jesus, I command the pain. Go! Out! Yeah? Okay, remove your eye. In the name of Jesus, heal! Out! You are free. In the name of Jesus, out! Heal! Healing for
for you now. I curse the liver condition. Heal, Jesus. You have in the name of Jesus. I command total healing now. Let the healing power of God flow through your system. Out every infirmity. You are free. In the name of Jesus. Put your hand. In the name of Jesus, I curse the condition. Be healed right now. Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. Lose your grip over this life. Come out of my body. Be healed totally. Eletina kabrande keposka, kali boraka bataya, eli branda. I woke up this morning with a dream. In the dream, I had an encounter with a Nigerian billionaire. And in that encounter, I saw Bishop David Oyedepo, and then this Nigerian billionaire. I know the person, but I won't tell you the person for security reasons. Now listen, and then I was wondering what's the meaning of, and I was praying for the billionaire. I was releasing an impartation. I was telling him in the dream, God is taking you to the next level. Amen. In the business. I was wondering the meaning, and then the Lord said, that there is release. Please help them. You see, as I'm speaking, there is confirmation. No demon or poverty will remain in your life. Are you listening? Please bring them forward. As I'm speaking, there is an impartation. You see, now stretch forth your hands, because the Lord says is releasing the anointing for kingdom financiers. I'm telling you, are you ready to receive this? You know, this ministry, we are raising billionaires. Are you listening? Just help him. Now, in the name of Jesus, by the power, don't be distracted. My God, what a mighty release. What a mighty release. See, monies are flying. Oh, can you see what is happening? Can you see the impartations? Can you see the impartation? Bring them forward. Can you see what is happening? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see what the Holy Ghost is doing here? The anointing to enter wealth. The anointing for wealth. Stupendous wealth and prosperity. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Like a flood. Like a flood, like a flood. The rain of wealth and riches. The rain of monies. Millionaires are rising. Billionaires are rising. You are one of them. The anointing for wealth and prosperity is resting upon you. Is resting upon you. Your broke days are over. I say your broke days are over. Indeed, the Lord is raising kingdom billionaires, and you are one of them. Lift up your hand and say, I receive the anointing for the billion flow. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. There is a mighty impartation. The demons of poverty, they are leaving you forever. You are entering into your season of wealth. You are entering your season of abundance. Your season of wealth and abundance.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King, or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.